You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Final segment of the week, and we saved it for some NFL football talk. Joining us on the phone right now, we have a great friend of the show, Brian Mejia. He's our NFL Drive Time Sports insider. Brian, a pleasure to get you on again today. Thank you.
It's always great to talk football with you, buddy. It was a good week last week, obviously week one, and then last night was pretty good as well.
Yeah, it was not a bad game. In fact, it was the first Thursday night game to air here on KOAL, and we did get a good one. Houston-Cincinnati, final score 13-9. It happened to be Deshaun Watson's 22nd birthday, and he gets a win in his first ever career start. He did just enough to get Houston out of there with a victory. Relied on the defense, tried to play mistake-free football. I thought statistically it's something that, you know, it's not going to jump out at you. But Brian, I was happy with Deshaun Watson's performance last night. I think Texans fans were as well.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely was. And I feel the game would have been more competitive last week if he would have played the whole game. If Bill O'Brien wouldn't have been, you know, I don't want to say an idiot, but, you know, obviously I think that's what he is for putting Tom Samage behind that type of offensive line against the passers like the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know if he didn't see it from a mile away. He's an NFL coach, and you know, he deserves to be criticized for that move, for starting Tom Savage over the better quarterback in Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun showed why he was a first-round pick, why, you know, he was able to beat Alabama in the national championship game, and why he was the top quarterback last year, in my opinion. And, you know, obviously Mitchell Trubisky was drafted first, but I feel like Deshaun Watson is going to have the best career out of any quarterback from this year's draft.
I think you could probably make that argument. His mobility is definitely going to fit him in Houston. On the flip side of that, we could talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. That's a terrible loss, and I don't know what's happening as far as the offense goes. Obviously, they miss a couple of key components up front that they lost via free agency, including Whitworth, their long-term left tackle. But with that being said, too many offensive weapons to go 2 weeks without scoring. Way too many. This looks bad on Marvin Lewis.
Oh, most definitely. And Marvin Lewis had to make a move, and he did. And he just fired Kent Sampisi, who was his offensive coordinator, who took over for Hugh Jackson. And now Bill Lazor is going to be the offensive coordinator for the Bengals. We'll see what Bill Lazor can do with Andy Dalton. I think Andy's broken. I think it's pretty much over. I think Marvin Lewis should be fired. I think Andy Dalton should be replaced in Cincinnati. I feel that they should tank the rest of the year and get a draft spot for one of these two quarterbacks in Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold. I think that's the move the Bengals should make, because they are a team that's just one piece away, and I don't think that piece is Andy Dalton, and I certainly don't believe that piece is Marvin Lewis.
Again, a tough loss last night for the Cincinnati Bengals, and you look at the offensive weapons that they have, everything from Joe Mixon to Tyler Eifert, who should be one of the top red zone targets in the NFL. The problem is, Brian, even if Eifert is, this Bengals team, they can't get to the red zone. So, that I mean, in order for him to be effective through the passing game with Andy Dalton, you got to get inside the 20, and they're not doing it.
You know, honestly, something that I truly believe now, Andy has the talent, he has the arm, he has everything that you need. I think it's just between the ears for Andy Dalton. And I don't think that's something that you can get back. Maybe a change of scenery for Andy. Maybe so. I don't know. We're going to have to figure it out, because the guy has all the talent in the world around him. And like you said, I mean, I know he lost some pieces on the offensive line, but if you look at those skill position players, for example, what would a guy like – Let's say a guy like Rodgers or Brady or any of these guys had that type of offensive weaponry, and not to say that both of those guys don't have good offensive weaponry, but a receiver like A.J. Green, a tight end like Tyler Eifert, a back like Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, you know, that's a lot of talent. And the Bengals have always had a lot of talent on offense and on defense. And you know, for some reason, Marvin Lewis, Andy Dalton, they just can't get it right.
Again, we're joined right now by Brian Mejia, our NFL Drive Time Sports Insider. Let's take a look at some of the games that we have on Sunday and how these particular games will actually translate from what we saw last week. We'll start with the defending Super Bowl champs and the Patriots. You know, I go back, Brian, and I watch this game for New England. And there's one instance where the touchdown pass in the first quarter from Brady to Gronk was reversed. And it seemed like from that point on, New England really never recovered. This week, they get New Orleans. This is a big game for the Patriots. And based off what I saw week one from New Orleans, I would expect New England to come back and look like Super Bowl form once again.
I agree, but at the same time, I think the Saints are going to be able to put up 30 or more points on that defense as well. I don't see how they won't be able to. Drew Brees, the New Orleans Saints in that dome, I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. I will be extremely surprised if that game is not in the 30s or higher this weekend. Obviously, I'm going to go with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to get their first win of the year just because, you know, they're obviously, you know, the best quarterback and coach combo in the NFL history. But I definitely feel that this one's going to be a good shootout.
With all the money that New England spent on that secondary and defensively this offseason, if it is a shootout, would you be mildly concerned if you're a Patriot fan?
Well, I mean, you are going against Drew Brees and Sean Payton, who, you know, since Sean Payton took over New Orleans, they're the only team in the NFL to average over 400 yards of total offense, you know, for the past 11 years. So, I mean, I wouldn't be totally angry, but at the same time, I'd be mildly concerned because look who you're going to play in the playoffs, because they are going to make the playoffs. You're going to play Derek Carr and the Raiders with Amari and Michael Crabtree and Jared Cook and you know, Marshawn, and you have to deal with that. We just saw what the Chiefs just did to you, and we know what Ben and the Steelers can do. So, I mean, I would definitely feel a little, you know, worried about what's to come with the Pats and their secondary. I think they signed Stephon Gilmore to be the shutdown corner that I didn't see in Buffalo, but, you know, maybe Bill Belichick can help him out. And Matt Patricia was scratching his head a lot last week, so we'll see how he does. We'll see how he does this week in New Orleans, which, you know, nobody really fares too well in New Orleans. And the last Saints home opener was a vivid one for myself and a lot of other people when, you know, the Raiders were in there. There was over 1,000 yards of offense and over 70 points of total. So over 70 points of put up on the board. So, I mean, you know, New Orleans is a very tough place to play and a very tough place to hold and contain Drew Brees in that offense.
Let's move to the afternoon games. We'll talk about one that has created a lot of interest here locally. We have the Cowboys and the Broncos, two teams that are 1-0. The Broncos, they exceeded my expectations in week one, but once again, you know, they did struggle a little bit in the red zone. C.J. Anderson, they tried to utilize him inside the 5-yard line. I thought they did show off a little bit of their... I think the Broncos showed off their inability up front in this contest, Brian. There's a lot of question marks regarding Denver from an offensive line standpoint. Dallas, on the flip side, went up against a team that I don't know how good the Giants really are. Without Odell Beckham, that offense looked very, very plain. I don't know what to take from this game on Sunday between the Broncos and the Cowboys. I really don't. It's kind of an unknown.
It is an unknown, but I'll tell you something. I think it's going to favor the Dallas Cowboys this weekend only because that offensive line travels. Dak Prescott is still there, and so is Ezekiel Elliott. So I feel like the Broncos, you know, they're going to probably have a tough time with this Dallas offense. And then I think the Dallas defense showed that they are capable of shutting down, you know, a capable quarterback in Eli Manning, obviously a two-time Super Bowl winner. And I feel like they'll be able to go into Denver and get a nice win on the road. Obviously, the Broncos aren't what they were 2 years ago, but, you know, they're still the Broncos defense. I think it is going to be a slugfest, but at the end, I think Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott are going to get the W in Denver.
What game are you most looking forward to this weekend? A game that you have circled that's can't-miss football?
Can't-miss football for me is a Sunday night football game, obviously. The Packers going into Atlanta. I want to see if Steve Sarkisian is as good as a designer as Kyle Shanahan was for Matt Ryan and the Atlanta offense. I want to see if he can expose the Packers defense, which obviously the Seattle Seahawks couldn't. And I want to see if the Seattle Seahawks, if the Green Bay Packers defense is what they were versus the Seattle Seahawks, or is it just the Seahawks offensive line is just totally in shambles and anybody can do that to them. So I'm very interested to see if Sarkisian can, you know, get back to where they were. I know week one was a bit of a struggle for them. Obviously, the Bears were playing at home. But, you know, I want to see if Atlanta could just bounce back. But, obviously, they did get the win week one. And, you know, this one should be their home opener in a brand-new shiny stadium. So we'll see how that goes.
You mentioned the Seahawks. I mean, they get the 49ers this week. They should be able to handle their business there. They get Tennessee on the road the week after. Then they get Indianapolis and then the Rams. So looking at Seattle's first five games of the season, that offensive line may not get tested, but two out of the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks this season. So I don't know if we're actually going to get a peg on Seattle until around week eight, Brian.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But, I mean, at the same time, it's kind of a growing trend in the NFL, like we see with the Texans and we see with a couple other teams. If your offensive line isn't getting the work that's needed in the offseason, you know, you're going to struggle on Sunday, and that's the problem that we're having here in the NFL. And I feel like the Seahawks are going to be okay. They're the Seattle Seahawks. They're one of the best five teams in the NFL, even if their offensive line is poor, and they just lost to a team that I feel is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think the Seahawks are going to be okay, but that's their glaring weakness. That's not where they put their money into it, and it's obvious.
Brian Mejia, again, our NFL Drive Time Sports Insider. Brian, it's going to be a fun week for week two. Looking forward to catching up with you again next week, and we'll recap and get set up for week three.
Most definitely. Enjoy the fight tomorrow, too. It's going to be a great one.
Definitely. Can't wait for Triple G Canelo. And with that being said, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. You have a great weekend. We'll recap everything next week. And Monday, I'll be back with you. Same time, same place. Be safe. I am out.